Good afternoon, and welcome to January's Learn at Lunch presentation. This is the first in the series for 2008, and Dr. Rosalie Josephson is usually with you as your moderator, but she's out today, and my name is Aquila Luke, and I'm here in her stead. So welcome to everyone. Happy New Year. I'd like to present Rod Kempton, our speaker today. He's a coach and a success strategist. And he says that he lives his life, his life's mission is to help people discover their options and create strategies to put their opinions in place and put their options in place. The name of his business is Integrated Success Strategies. It embodies the nature of personal success, integrating our heart, mind, body, and spirit. He has a broad base of experience. He's worked for various social, business, and organizational environments, including the University of California, where he spent 10 years at UCSF and at UCI. So he's a member of the UC family. In addition, he worked for a year and a half with campus presidents for corporate higher education. So presenting today, he says, is like having a conversation with all of us who are his friends. Some of you have worked with Rod in the Management Skills Assessment Program and at the Business Officer Institute. So please join me for today's presentation and conversation, The Jigsaw Puzzle of Success with Rod Kempton.
Thank you. Thank you, Dr. Luke. I appreciate that. It's really exciting for me to be here today, and I look forward to the conversation. This will not be a 90 minutes of me talking to you. We'll be working together, we'll be chatting together, and we'll be working with the handout that they're now going to give to you. So this is a very active process. I invite you to just open up and share with yourselves and each other the things that we go through today. Now, excuse me. This is the time of year when many times we're going, okay, it's a new year, we're going to do some things differently. We used to call them resolutions, and everybody got tired of that word. So we don't call them resolutions anymore. We now just simply talk about creating new personal successes. And that's really what I wanted to do today, is share those things with you. So we're going to talk about how we create success through all of these puzzle pieces of personal values, strengths and attributes, and personal energy. And then we'll pull it together, giving you a chance to start creating some of those statements of success for yourself. So, I don't know about you, but many times I feel like my life is a bunch of puzzle pieces. There's this section, this section, this section, this section, is this section, and my task is to bring them together. When I can bring them together, then they start feeding each other and we start having success. That's the reason I like the concept or the metaphor of a jigsaw puzzle for life and for personal success. So, as you, with me, look at the worksheet that you've been given, this is an active process. You'll be writing on it, you'll be doing things with it, and there will be times when I will stop talking and you will be doing. So those who are also participating in this remotely, I hope have had have access to the worksheet and have pulled it down, printed it, so they can actually do their processes as well. So with that, let's move forward into what we want to do. I want to take first the issue of personal values and how they are, in fact, our guides and our motivators. We live by our values whether we say we do or not. Inherently, it's our values that make us help us make our decisions. So we can say we do what we do because of who we are, or we can flip that. We are who we are because of what we do. It doesn't really make any difference. Either way, we actually act that way that is natural to us. Now, there are times when we kind of step out of that comfort zone and we may act in a different way for a short period of time, but in fact, we behave in those ways that are inherent to who we are. And those experiences then are the things that help us have the success that we have. We have a lifetime of successes. We have a few other challenges where we're going, learning opportunity here. What am I going to learn from this particular situation? I want you today to pull forward those successes and clarify the things that give you the power for success so that you can use them in the next opportunities. And when we say opportunities, we're talking about the the job opportunities, the tasks that come our way, the family opportunities, the personal decisions that we're making, all those opportunities for stretch. That's what we're really going to be talking about today. So with that in mind, let's look at, okay, there we go. I get so excited about this. We're going to look at our core values, and then we're going to define those and see how we can use those values as a decision-making tool. So if you will look at your worksheet with me. The first thing we're going to do is have you on the first and second page look at a list of words that I say are personal values. And we don't worry about the definitions being consistent across the room at this point. These are your definitions. So when you see the word integrity, it can mean what you want it to mean. What I'm going to ask you to do for the next couple of minutes is go through this list of, and on the next page, 48 words, and rank them according to importance to you, with one being the highest level of importance and five being not important at all. And it doesn't matter how many ones you have on this list or how many twos or threes or fours or five. That's totally your information. This information we'll be using in just a little bit more in just a couple of minutes. So take a couple of minutes now and go through the list, writing, circling that number for each one. And if there's a word that you know is one of your values and it's not on the list, numbers 49 and 50 give you two spaces to write those in. And then you'll probably have those as ones. So take a couple of moments now and indicate values that are important to you and rank order those. When you've done that, just look up at me so I know when we're getting a fair number of people who are completed with that step. For those of you who are listening to this remotely, again, I hope you're actually doing the same thing and going through your process of identifying those critical values for you. You will be actively involved in this, in doing this as we continue on. Another minute. Okay, I think most of us have gotten through our 50. Keep working. I know you can listen to me and do this at the same time, so keep working on it. You had a couple of options there. Some of you may have had other words that you wrote in there, and then in just a second, we'll have you deal with these just a little bit more. Did you find in this list that lots and lots of these were high priorities? They were number one, yes? So it's almost like, well, yeah, okay, everything's important. What I will promise you is when you were looking at the list, there were probably some words that just jumped at you and you go, well, of course, and that was a quick one. Others, you maybe did a little bit of discussion, one, two, three, whatever, and then you maybe have circled a one or a two. So that's going to be important information for you for the next segment, the next little bit. What I want you to do now is to go through the list of all of your ones and go back and select five. Just five that are the most important of that entire list. And I promise you, you will recognize them quickly because they were the ones that jumped at you when you were going down through the list. So do that next. and put an X out next to them or something so that you can go back to them. When I talk about those five most important, I like to label those as your core personal values. So what we've been doing right now is identifying the core personal values for you. And we all have our unique set. What I'd like to do now is take us into making them very, very personal. So we're going to define them. We're going to define them according to our definition. Let me give you an example of what I'm talking about. My five core values, I live by them, I know them, and they kind of roll off my tongue very easily. They're integrity, wisdom, friendship, spirituality, and adventure. Now, they live differently in me than those same values may live in you, and that's okay. For me, integrity is making decisions so that I get to live authentically me. I have this unique personality. Some people like it, and other people think I may be strange. It doesn't matter. It's me, right? And so my integrity includes being able to be authentically me in all of those situations. That's a part of my definition, then, of integrity. It's not just making a right or wrong choice. It's living authentically in the process. And for me, wisdom, you know, I've spent a few years on this planet, and I probably have lived six lifetimes in those few years. So I have some experiences. And being able to call on those experiences for the lessons learned is how I look at wisdom. So wisdom for me is, what have I learned and how does it apply? That helps me make decisions. The friendship. I'm a social being. I love being with people. I love working with people. That's why I absolutely have wonderful passion about the coaching work that I do, because other people's success is what gives me energy. Spirituality, to me, is not necessarily religion, but it is some sense of that inner voice, the one might say, intuition. Or some people may say spirituality is very much religion for them, and I don't mind. Whatever works is what it's all about. So adventure, as mild-mannered as I may seem, there's usually some kind of an adventure going on in my life. And so one time I just finally had to say, you know what, apparently one of my life values is adventure, where I create things, where I have things going on. And some may say drama. You know, it's an adventure. I learn from it. So that's one of the things. And this is what I'm saying, is that those values show up in your life on a constant basis. So honor those. Now what I'm going to ask you to do is to take a couple of minutes, and at this, in the bottom of page 2, it says select 3 to 5 that represent your core values and write a definition for each. I had you select 5. Write the word of the value by each of those numbers, and then a little dash, and then write a definition that applies to you. It's very uniquely yours. If it doesn't come out in full sentence form, don't worry about it. Put some keywords down. A list of keywords is just fine for right now. One of my goals is that you walk out of here with critical information that you keep then massaging into a way that it works for you. So a list of words that apply works great. And I know this is a work in process, and you're working like crazy because you thought you were going to come here and just discover the secrets of life, right? However, we're working through those secrets for you. So I'm going to ask if anybody is comfortable identifying one of their values and the definition they put to that value, just to share with the group so that we can hear a little bit about your process. Anybody come? Please, yes. Spiritual growth is what she said is the value. I'm going to repeat this so that everybody in the room can hear it. Go ahead.
Gives my whole life meaning.
It gives my whole life meaning. How? What is it that is a part of... How do you recognize that you're growing spiritually? That's a question I have.
Well, some of them are, and with the other things, too, a feeling of peace and calmness.
Okay. Okay, so if I remember correctly, peace, comfort, a sense of maybe, these are my words, co-creation with somebody else. So if there's another entity or somebody else involved, and that the good for all concerned is a part of that spiritual growth. So that's a list of your definitions for spiritual growth. Congratulations. And I think that's very important that you said one thing, and that is that they seem to all be intertwined. Our values very much are intertwined. They do come together. Because they come together in us. Thank you. Anybody else willing to share the value and the definition or the list of words that go with it? Please. Here and then here. I'll take them both. Then go ahead.
Play.
Play. Oh, that's fun.
Tons of fun. But it helps me and everyone around me to see the hard stuff, but to enjoy and remember the good.
Okay. So play, tons of fun. It helps you and everybody around you see the hard stuff, but remember the fun behind it. Thank you. Excellent. And so living that perhaps gives us our sense of humor in those tough situations. Don't know about you, but I've had a few of those. And sometimes all you can do is laugh. There are times when that's the best medicine. Thank you. Please. So prosperity, living, give me the words again, please.
Being true to myself, living authentically.
So living authentically, being true to yourself, and?
Growing financially, spiritually, in health, and mentally.
So growing financially, spiritually, in health, and mentally as well. That's a very broad definition of prosperity, and some people, I'm not changing your definition at all, some people see prosperity as dollars. You have a much broader experience and definition of prosperity. I would agree with that. It's like, for me, abundance is family and friends far more than dollars and income and possessions. So this is how we're really looking at these things as very, very personal in terms of our values. Go ahead, please. Okay, inner harmony. I'm sorry? It gives you contentment. And when we feel that contentment, that also gives us the confidence to move our next steps, whatever they may be. Excellent. Thank you. These are great examples of personal values and how one person's definitions may well be very different than another person's definitions. And guess what? It's all right. Not only is it all right, it's encouraged. Because we're talking about those things that give you your strength. Now I want to talk about the values as a decision-making tool. Folks, I'm going to be pretty arbitrary about this. It has to have 4 or 5 yeses to be a go vote on anything you want to do. Let's talk about that. If you're doing something inconsistent with your values, what does it feel like? It doesn't feel good. It's uncomfortable. Something's not right. When we're living outside of our values, we are in conflict. And when we feel stuck or are in conflict, it's because we're living outside of our values. So I invite you to, anytime you are looking at a decision or a situation, to assess that situation in terms of your values. And then do a vote. Am I consistent with this value, this value, this value, this value, and this value? And if it's 4 or 5, it's a go vote. If it's 3 or less, you will experience challenge. you will experience disharmony inside. And so I say, no, when it's three or less. Thoughts, comments about that? I said I was going to be arbitrary, and this is all the rest of this I'm telling you, whatever you have is great. This time I'm saying it's pretty arbitrary. Thoughts about that? Any comments? Yes.
Because so often we struggle with decisions when we know in our gut that feeling of comfort that it's right or wrong.
You said something very, very important. We know in our gut. Internally, we know something's right or wrong for us. And that's when we discover that value system. Many times the self-discussion, I don't know about you, but I have conversations in my head with myself. And many times that conversation is something like, okay, what is it that I'm not feeling right about here? And one of the best things for me to facilitate that conversation is, okay, what about my values? Is it in keeping with this one and this one and this one? And when I find the, oh, not quite a match here, then I get to have the second part of the conversation, and that is, how do I live my value in this situation, though it seems like it's not quite a fit? Or is it so significant that I need to say no? Both options exist. At first blush, we may see that it's not in keeping with our values, but then with a little bit of consideration, we think, well, okay, now how can I do it? Have you ever been asked to do something at work that is required in your job and you struggle with it because it's not quite you? And then you find a way to make it yours. That's that shift I'm talking about. And think of the power, then, that comes when we're finally able to pull it back into our value system. Comments or questions? Thank you for your comment. Yes, please.
I think the threes are maybe
for me because just because it's not a perfect fit doesn't mean I can't learn and grow in it anyway, because the world isn't my world. I live in it. Sometimes you have to adjust for others. Okay, and I think maybe we're saying the same thing when I was saying, you know, when you find a no, is there a way that you can shift so that you can still live within the value? So I agree with the way you're saying that. And I think that's important for us to recognize. So from my perspective as a coach, as a personal coach, this is always where I start. And we have as much as a half-hour conversation just about the definitions so that people can begin to really realize, oh, that's the way it shows up for me. And that's the way I really need to pay attention to it. I love it when people go, now I know why that didn't work. It was inconsistent with four of my criteria, my primary values. And then they can learn from the situation. All right. So with that being the case, we now have some sense about our personal values and how we can use them as our power source for our personal success. Move with me to the next, the next page on the handout. So now I'd like to look at some strengths and attributes that we have, because that's what gives us the confidence. We now know how we can make better decisions. How do we make these things successful? So right now we're going to do a bit of an inventory. And I'm going to ask you to look at, in the top half, people that you admire and traits they possess. And then in the bottom half, situations where you were successful. And I'm going to invite you to claim those strengths and attributes that you possess and demonstrate. People see them in you all the time, and you don't think about them when things are going well. When things seem to be a challenge, many times we need to figure out, okay, what works for us and how can we make it happen well here? And that's what we're talking about then. So I'm going to ask you then to, on the first part of the page where it says strengths and attributes clarification, in the left column, write down the names of people, and they can be fictitious. Harry Potter is on my list of people that I admire. So, you know, at this point, and Abe Lincoln is there as well. So they can be historical figures. They can be fictitious figures. I really don't care. But in the left-hand column, write down at least six people that you recognize or that you admire. And then in the right-hand column, I'm going to ask you to write attributes or adjectives, if you would, that describe them. And what is it that you admire about them? So do that now, please. don't work too hard on this because it's actually easier if you just let it flow, all right? So when you've got a person's name and you've got three or four words that describe them and you can't think of anything else, don't worry about it, go to the next person. And then when you come back and you'll see another one, oh, that's right, they do this, and I like that, so. I'm excited to see some of you really diving into this and writing like crazy. That's exciting. This isn't just a come listen to Rod thing. Mm-mm. We don't do that. I don't do that. Keep writing. I know you can listen to me and think and write at the same time. So keep writing. Do your thing. But let me give you an example of what I mean when I said Harry Potter. Now, Harry Potter is a very famous person in a series of books. And the books takes him, you know the stories well, I'm sure. The thing that I wrote down when I wrote down Harry Potter was his courage and the fact that when he encounters something he doesn't know what to do, he still takes action. And he's willing to admit when he perhaps made a mistake, but he still did something, trying to do the best thing he could. So that's a description I put to Harry Potter. Other people that I have on my list had things like charisma and personality, and they were inviting, and they were socially accepting of me and other people. Those are the kinds of things that I admired about people on my list. So, here's what I'm going to invite you to do. I'm going to invite you to read that list of attributes on the right-hand side, every one of them as a sentence, and start the sentence with, I am. So in the case of Harry Potter and Rod Kempton, it would be, I am courageous. I do things when I know something needs to be done, willing to admit my mistakes and learn from the experience. So, every one of those is a new sentence for you. And start it with, I am. Read it to yourself. Is there a question about what I'm asking people to do? All right. On the third page, that list of people and attributes that you just created, the list of people in the left-hand column and the attributes in the right-hand column, I'm inviting you to claim all of those attributes as your own. Many times we admire in other people what we actually possess ourselves. So you may not think that you have X, Y, or Z, but you admire it in somebody else, and basically you do have X, Y, and Z, but may not give yourself credit for it, or you're perfectly willing to give yourself credit for X, Y, and Z. So right now, I'm inviting you to claim it. And write down, or read the sentence, I am X, Y, and Z. Does that help in clarifying what I was asking you to do? I knew what I wanted. I got so excited about it, I just didn't explain it well. My apologies. So one of the things that Rod Kempton does is get a little bit ahead of things sometimes. Now, what questions does anybody have about this experience? Why are we doing this? Why am I asking you to do this? What good is it? Either way, you go ahead and then here.
If you realize that that is the truth, not look for these positive attributes just in other people, but you actually realize.
So realize that it's our truth.
Exactly.
It's not just in those other people that we admire. It's our truth as well.
Yeah.
Thank you. Any other comment? Right. When we say to ourselves, I am, and these things, then that's already implanting in our being that reality. We don't always recognize it. There are some things that we do, we fulfill, the behaviors we implement, we don't even think about them because they are so natural. But in a new situation, we don't realize then that we may be using those same behaviors to have success. So that's why I'm asking you to claim them and bring them forward. Now, on the bottom part of that page is a nice open space. And it says, describe a situation where you were successful. That can be at work, in a family situation, in relationship, doesn't matter. Briefly describe the circumstance. Describe what you did that made you successful. And describes things that you do that make you successful repeatedly. Think of a situation where you were successful. Things that you do all the time. Think of a situation where you're, that wasn't a comfortable one, but you were successful. What did you do that made you successful? What behaviors did you implement? What things did you do? This may be a little bit more difficult and may take a little bit more thinking, but I invite you to continue these activities after you're out of this situation and on your own. You're taking this note taker with you, and we've had the discussion here. Let me give you an example that for me is something that I know is a strength, and I use it because that's part of my work. How many of you here might have attended Business Officer Institute? Okay, fine, a couple of you have. In the past, I presented there. And in that presentation, they calendared me. They booked me from 4:30 to 6:30 at the end of the first day. Now, does that sound like a challenging time? Yes, it was. And they had been listening to lawyers and HR people talk about law and policy all day long. An audience of 250 people. That was a bit of a challenge. One of the things that I do is use some energy and charisma in presenting that's beyond the actual topic and the actual presentation itself. And I knew that if I brought in some of that playful charisma, that we could change the energy. And I knew that I had about 10 seconds to change the energy from, oh my gosh, another presenter, to, okay, let's see what this person has to say. So what I did was start in the back of the room. And I started speaking after the formal introduction at the podium. I wasn't at the podium. I didn't start there. I started at the back of the room and I started speaking lightly about the topic, but introducing myself a little bit more as well. And as I started walking towards the front of the room, people were trying to find me. They could hear me. They couldn't see me. And because they were trying to find me, I was getting their attention. And by the time I got to the front of the room, I playfully introduced myself in a different manner. That shifted the energy. And that was a part of my natural personality to play with things that way. So that was the strength that I used to shift the energy from, it's 4:30, I really want to get out of this meeting, to, okay, we can do this. And we did it for 2 hours, and most everybody enjoyed it because we used the energy of the room. So that's an example of using a strength in a given situation. Now, I use that same playful energy in other ways with other people in other situations as well. But that's a strength that I implement over and over and over again. So that's an example of one of the things that I'm talking about here. Would anybody in the room be willing to share with us one of your strengths or one of your attributes that you know you use and maybe sometimes need to give yourself credit for as well. Anybody? Please. I know this is, I'm asking you to kind of share stuff that's personal. It's okay, please. So what I hear you saying is the successful experience was getting the job here at UC San Diego. You were probably among a peer set of excellently qualified people. Now, I heard you discounting that a little bit. I'm going to bring it back out of you had to be qualified or you wouldn't have been interviewed. And you probably got the job because you were able to bring your personal affect into play as well. Your like the fact that you like people, the fact that you enjoy being with people, you were able to bring that forward, and that was probably needed in the position. So that's a perfect example of an attribute or a strength that you brought forward. So when we're talking about strengths and attributes, we're really talking about those behaviors and those traits that we demonstrate and that we can consciously implement as well. What I'm inviting you to do is to claim them and consciously implement them. Claim them as yours. I am, I do, I implement, I'm very successful when I do the following. Claim them and then use that as your success strategy as well. So far today then, what we've done is talk about our personal values, define them, refine them, and use them as a decision-making tool. And now we're saying these are the things that I can do to make myself successful. All right, now let's move on to something else that I like to call personal energy. So if you'll move with me to page 4. This will be a little more complex, and I'm going to try to move slowly enough through it that it doesn't confuse you, at the same time that we move rapidly enough through it that it helps you. Interesting balancing act. So when I'm talking about personal energy, we have power that we feel when we're living our values and using our strengths, and they propel us towards success. When we're working at a bit of a stretch, though, when it's not quite comfortable, but we still need to do it, then we can start contributing other kinds of energy to it. The first thing I want to talk about, we'll talk about these three things: intent, internal energy, and external energy, and I'm going to define them as we go along. The intent is what we'll talk about first, and then here's the internal energy and the external energy. And as we define those, I want you to really explore what we're talking about. So, intent. Intent is, and think of the definition of I intend, my intent is to do such and such. It's focused energy and power driven by personal values. Your values drive your intent. So when you start looking at something as an outcome, we write our goals, we write we write everything we want to do, or we say everything we want to do as an outcome. With that being the case, what value is it tied to? This time of the year, when people start making their goals, there are 4 or 5 that are common. They may not be yours, but they're common. And typically people want to lose weight, stop smoking, get out of debt, get a new job, or something like that, right? So there has to be focused energy on every one of those. They don't just fall into place. They need to be conscious effort. That's what I'm talking about in terms of that intent. I intend to. Now, we write them, or we talk about these in terms of the outcome. Which sounds more doable, losing 20 pounds or making good nutrition choices and exercise choices? So we start looking at what we intend to do about something in terms of the result. So that's a part of intent as well. What's my goal, the outcome, how value does it represent? Which takes us then to the next segment, the internal energy. And this is a barometer for us. It helps us kind of know where we are. Our thoughts and our feelings, in fact, guide everything that we do. And here's an interesting challenge about thoughts. What thoughts do I have about my goal? What feelings do I have about my goal? What strengths and attributes am I using to accomplish this? I want to go back to words again. When I'm thinking, I've got to lose 20 pounds, what does that feel like? Pressure. Drudgery. Not fun, right? Okay. What if I said, I'm going to use, pardon, somebody said something over here I want to hear. See, that sounds fun, doesn't it? And that sounds like it's also good exercise. If I also say something like, I'm going to eat my favorite foods in just the right amount so that I enjoy the satisfaction of the taste without overindulging. Folks, I'm a chocolateholic. I don't want a 12-step program to overcome it either. I love chocolate. And I also know that after the third or fourth bite, I've gotten all the flavor enjoyment I'm going to out of the chocolate. I don't have to have a huge serving to enjoy chocolate. A little bit goes a long ways, right? That's a perfect example of that kind of looking at it in that way. Yoplait yogurt does some of the best marketing this time of the year that I know of going. So a couple of years ago or last year, you may remember the young woman who hung the two-piece bathing suit on the wall. And all the rest of the scenes through that advertisement were her walking by the bathing suit eating Yoplait yogurt, looking at it and smiling. Now, she was wearing frumpy, big, bulky clothes in the first parts, and then she was wearing smaller clothes and so on and so forth as the advertisement went along. But every time she would walk by, she'd look at that and smile and say to herself, basically, I'm going to enjoy that come summer on the beach with my friends. The last scene was her getting in the convertible with her buddies with the bikini in the bag, right? She was going to the beach, going to have a good time. She was thinking of the outcome and doing the things necessary to produce the outcome. The current Yoplait ad that's going, I mean, I love Yoplait yogurt and I love their ad campaigns because they feel good. So what's happening now? The Yoplait ads, she's talking on the phone with her friend. Well, yesterday I had apple turnover. And I love the key lime pie I had last night. And I also enjoy the strawberry, whatever she's telling basically what's going on. And her boyfriend or husband or whatever is just ripping the refrigerator apart. Where are the apple turnovers and the key lime pies and so on and so forth? And of course, there's a double row of Yoplait yogurt there. And you see quickly the key lime pie and the apple turnover flavors there. And she's talking about, oh yeah, I've lost weight. The losing weight is secondary, though, in that conversation to her choices that she's made, and she's having a good time talking about the flavors she's enjoying. So that's an example, then, of thoughts producing feelings. And when we don't like the way we feel about something, what can we do? Change our thoughts. The words that we say to ourselves in our thought conversations are very, very powerful, and they guide our feelings. Is it Dr. Burns? Thank you. Dr. Burns has books out about the power of thoughts in guiding our feelings. And when we want to shift our feelings, we can shift our thoughts, and that will shift our feelings. And there are times when I promise you, Rod Kempton is going, oh, this doesn't feel really good today. I'm really struggling with something, and I know, okay, fine. You just took an assessment of how you're feeling. What are you going to do about it? Let's shift what's going on. How can I think differently about that? And approach it differently so that then my new thoughts can change my feelings. How many of you in here have had that experience and know that it to be successful? Raise your hand. Yeah, of course. You know when it works. So here's what I'm saying. Do it again. Just simply do it again. So the third, that's what I'm calling the internal energy, because nobody sees it outside. Now let's look at the external energy. What words do I say to other people, and what actions do I implement? Going back to the Yoplait yogurt thing again, the telephone conversation, what words was she saying? Well, I've enjoyed eating the apple turnover. I loved the key lime pie. Those were words she was saying to somebody else. All of those had positive feelings around them, right? And she was eating Yoplait yogurt key lime pie, Yoplait yogurt apple turnover, so on and so forth. So there is a great deal of power, true power, in the way we look at our personal energy. When we look at our intent, what truly is the intent behind what we're trying to do? If I want to live my value of health through reaching my ideal weight of XYZ, I will do that through nutrition choices and exercise choices. Now, I just joined a gym. I used to go to the gym all the time, enjoyed the benefits of going to the gym all the time, and I moved from one city to another. I didn't join a gym in the new city. And after a few years, it showed. So I just joined a gym, and when I joined the gym, I said, I want someone to help me learn how to use the equipment correctly, because I know when I use the equipment correctly, I won't get hurt, so I'll keep using it. So we found a trainer that would be willing to explain to me, not just do it because I said, but they explained to me. I made a conscious choice. I wanted somebody who would explain to me. Well, she's doing a great job of explaining to me. And guess what? I'm becoming habitual about the process, and I'm already seeing results. I did not say I need to lose 30 pounds, though probably that's about the right number to lose. What I said was I want to change my feeling about myself. I want to change my experience with exercise, flexibility, and breath, and all that other kind of stuff. Those are the real measures for me. Can I exercise longer without getting short of breath? Can I walk up the stairs without my knees hurting? She's showing me knee strengthening exercises. I just figured it was getting old. Maybe partly getting a little bit older, but there's also some issues about muscle strength and tendon stretching and all that other kind of stuff that will apply to my knees. So I want the outcome to be better physical results. And that is going to be something I can see and feel and experience on a continuing basis. The benefit will be, along with that, reducing weight and so on and so forth. So for me, my words are about what I'm going to do and why I'm going to do it. And that feels good. It feels good. And because it feels good, I'll probably do it. Right? So I'm going to ask anybody here who is willing to tell us a little bit about how this works for you. Kind of think out loud with us and just see what, I mean, I've said all kinds of things that are very conceptual at this point. How does this work for you? Anybody here want to share something that they're looking at and how they're looking now at different words or thoughts that might govern that or guide it? Please. Please. Okay.
And found a place that was here on campus. I go on campus. I love the instructor, but I don't go to lose weight.
So practicing. Go ahead.
I go with them to stretch and be in this group of people and do different things with my body that I don't do on a normal daily basis, but I'm noticing changes and it's not about my weight.
So yoga is giving you the pleasurable social experience. Mm-hmm. And you're receiving physical benefits as well because you're doing the stretching, you're doing the exercising that you want to do, mm-hmm. and it's not focusing on weight, it's focusing on the other benefits. Let me ask you, is social something about being social one of your core value systems?
It's wrapped up in them, yeah.
Hello. She's living her values. Mm-hmm. Do you see that living her values is a part of the successful decision? Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's where I want to see these come together for us. Thank you for sharing that. I appreciate it very, very much. Any other thoughts? Let me just, anybody want to share something that they're experiencing or some of the ways that this is working for you? Okay. So I'm going to ask you, big deal, what does it mean, Rod? What good is all of this? How does this work for you? I'm going to now ask you to pull it all together. Well, we talked about the external energy. Sorry about that. I just got all wrapped up in what I was saying. Now let's look at our goals. So on the last page, page 5, you got lots and lots and lots of blank space. So I'm going to ask you to write the beginnings of a goal by number 1. I don't care what the goal is. It really is not important to me as much as it's important that you write a goal. And I'm going to invite you to write it in terms of the outcome, identify actions that will bring the result, and include feelings that support the result. An example would be, I enjoy a healthy, smoke-free lifestyle through daily exercise, nutrition, and conscious responses to stressful situations. Smoking cessation is probably one of the most difficult habits to break for people because it's a true addiction. We all know that. And people who are smoking, who want to quit, struggle with that. Many times they say, I've got to quit smoking. So every time they want a cigarette, I can't have that cigarette, which is what comes to mind. What does that feel like? Deprivation. It feels negative. However, when we start shifting what we want in terms of the outcome and the value applied, then we can identify positive feelings about it. Much like I did with the exercise and nutrition choices that I'm making, I enjoy a healthy, what value system probably is this tied to? Health. Right. I enjoy a healthy, smoke-free lifestyle through daily exercise, nutrition, and conscious responses to stressful situations. What typically triggers any kind of an addiction? Stress. Or reward. Now, I don't know about you, but I eat chocolate when I'm stressful, or when I'm stressed, and I also eat as a reward. So we have to look at those things that trigger the behavior and say, what am I going to do differently? Conscious choices. We want to be conscious in our choices. So, please take a moment, write a goal. Remembering the things that we've talked about, the strengths that you have that you're going to use in this, as well as your values, your feelings, and pay attention to the words that you write down. There's a part of me that assumes this may be a little bit of a struggle for some of us in the room. So I'm going to ask if somebody's willing to share with us the beginnings of their goal, some of the things that they've said and some of the ways that they've said them. And if they would be willing to share that, I'd like to see if you'd be willing to just let us help you with the way you're wording it, or let us use it as an example. Anybody willing? I'm asking you to kind of stretch and be vulnerable. Great. Let me bring the mic over so everybody can hear it. And we're not expecting this to be perfect. What we are is asking you to share it, and maybe we can even help you with some of the things like the words and some of the feelings and the values and stuff. So please share with what you have.
We are paying off our debt and saving for our daughter and our retirement future.
Okay. We are paying off our debt and saving for our daughter and our retirement future. All right. What value system is in play here?
Probably family and prosperity.
Okay, family and prosperity. Excellent. What are you doing to pay off your debt?
Not charging anymore.
Okay, there's an action. Yeah. I invite you to include that in the goal. All right, put the words down. By no longer charging on credit cards, you see, those are words and actions. We can do that, right? Mm-hmm. We can pay attention to, are we charging or not? So therein is how we begin to get some of the power in this. All right, thank you. Other things that you're going to be doing?
Spend less.
How do you spend less? I'm not trying to challenge you. I'm trying to ask you, tell me what you intend to do.
Buy less clothes and toys, luxury items.
Okay, so you're going to make some decisions as to what's essential and what's not essential. Okay, then I invite you to write in there that action as well. By making conscious choices about things we need and don't need, we're going to spend less money on a monthly basis.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
Words and choices. It's pretty easy for us to make those choices, right? I don't need this. That's something that's not hard to do. And it's in a choice in the moment. But it's an action that you can put into play.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Anything else that you're going to be doing?
How do I incorporate feeling good about this?
That's a great question. Thank you for the courage to ask it. How do I encourage feeling good about not buying luxury things and not charging on the charge card when the card is so convenient?
Yes.
How many credit card applications do you get in a month unsolicited in the mail?
Every day.
You know, a bunch of them.
Yeah.
So they're readily available.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. How do I incorporate feeling good about this? Thoughts, please.
When your daughter's in college and you're not mortgaged to the hilt.
That's 10 years from now.
It doesn't matter. 10 years will be here 10 years from now, whether she can afford it or not.
Okay. Okay, so, but let's get some. This is great. I'm so glad you asked this question. Go ahead.
The paying down your debt will feel good, and the having the debt feels so bad.
Okay.
When you buy something and you have that debt, it's like on you.
So the intensity of the experience of having debt now is a part of the reward is then reducing that intensity. That's what I hear you saying, yes?
Yeah, you pay down the debt.
You okay, you add a thought and then I want to come over you.
I think the feeling that you're saving something for future makes you feel good.
Okay, and over here, please.
Goes along with what she said.
I'm sorry, just step back.
Every month that you pay down the debt, you know, maybe put it on your refrigerator or do something where you're seeing it visibly every month.
So giving yourself recognition in some visible way of the reduced debt.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Is that helpful?
It is. How do I put it as part of a goal? Because I see deprivation.
I understand. Go ahead, please.
We're sort of doing the same thing. And what we do is reward ourselves once a week for having kept the goal of not using the credit cards. So we haven't spent on the credit cards, so Friday we get to go out to dinner. Not anywhere expensive. Us, we go to the soup plantation.
And you pay for dinner in cash.
Exactly.
Right. So let the reward reinforce the behavior that you're talking about. Forgetting that I don't have to have the microphone. There's already one here. So in one way or another then, describe the reward that you will experience in the moment. I agree with these other long-term rewards. I also caution that if you're like me, you need some reward now. And you need some kind of recognition. That was a word that came to mind a while ago for me. Somebody was saying about recognizing what you didn't charge and the difference of the decreased debt. That's recognition. So perhaps one of the feelings is recognizing on a weekly basis progress made this month. Recognizing on a monthly basis reduction of debt. And that feeling good about the progress perhaps is some of the feeling. Those are some thoughts that I have. Excellent, excellent example and excellent question. I love that. How do I feel good about this? Now, that's really what we're talking about, is how do I feel good about this? Thank you for sharing. Anybody else want to share and just kind of let us help you with this? She received some help, didn't she? So anybody else want to share? Be willing, please. Here, let me bring this to you. It's on.
I will select yoga and jogging through daily exercise in order to energize, strengthen, refresh, and relax myself.
Okay. So what are the rewards here? Keep the mic for a second. We're going to let you talk. What are the rewards?
The goal is to energize myself.
Okay.
And to make myself in better health condition. So in this way, to be able to handle stressful situations.
Okay. So the intent is to improve your health. Mm-hmm. So that you can handle stressful situations. And the actions that you're going to be doing are? Give the list again, please.
To choose yoga and also jogging.
Right.
Which I enjoy.
So you enjoy two forms of exercise, and you're going to implement those. How frequently did you say you were going to do them?
On a daily basis.
On a daily basis. Mm-hmm. Excellent. Thank you. Any other feedback for her? Other thoughts? So you've got an intent that's clear. You've got your feeling and the value stated. And you've got the actions, and the words are stated in the actions that you can implement. Okay. Thank you for sharing that. Other examples? Anybody else willing to share, please? Please. I will bring the mic. It's a good thing this is a small room. Please.
Well, mine is to be able to travel to see my children.
Okay.
And yet, keep a budget.
Okay.
So the way that I have determined that I'm going to implement this is I'm going to start using a credit card that gives you miles and pay it off every single month.
Okay.
So therefore, I'll be accruing miles, not spending money, and, you know, making sure that I pay off that. I don't have credit card issues. I don't have any debt at all.
Okay.
So, you know, making sure that I pay that off every single month, and I'll have a means to travel and visit my children. All just moved away.
Oh, okay.
So I'll have a means to visit my children and yet not go against my other goals, which are to buy a home. And, of course, losing weight is one that we're probably, most of us are trying to do too.
That's always there, everybody. Okay. So how did you word it? Have you written it down?
I did. I said travel and to visit my children, and I said I'm going to start using a credit card that accrues mileage.
Okay. So if you were to write that down, my intent is to visit my children, and I'm going to do that. I'm going to assist the cost in doing that by using a credit card that gives me reward miles. I will manage my indebtedness by paying off the credit card every month. I will only make purchases that I would normally make with cash. That, I think, is a critical, the third part that I just said, and I threw those words in there, but I heard you saying it. You would just be doing the same purchases you would typically do. I'm sorry, go ahead. Say that again, please.
Instead of using my ATM card to make all my purchases, I will be using this credit card that helps me accrue mileage.
And then paying that off the way you normally would anyway. You see, she's being consistent in her intent with a value system. She's making a clear decision as how she's going to do it, and without having said so, the feeling is the joy of getting to see your kids sooner and helping to pay for that process through the credit card usage. I know a lot of people that use a credit card for everything, because they get all kinds of rewards. I don't want to do that. That's just one of the things I don't want to do. But that's my own choice. That's not something I'm saying about other people. So that is a way that a lot of people finance some things, because it's an upfront finance without having to pay any kind of interest or anything else. Any other thoughts? Any other examples? All right. So now we have some time. I ripped through this because I want to make sure we had a chance to get it all in here. I want you to tell me, from your experience with our discussion today, what worked and what still remains a challenge for you in terms of value clarification, identification of strengths and attributes, and this personal energy part. Tell me what worked or what questions you have about that. Please, yes, go ahead.
Well, I really enjoyed, and hopefully the group did too, of the exercise to speak positively about what we do, and whether it's professionally or personally or mm-hmm. a goal to achieve. I really wrapped my brain and heart around that. I think that that's a great exercise, and people can do that more. It's not a selfish activity. We don't need it from somebody else. We need to believe that the people that we wrote down that we admire, we are like them.
Yes.
And I just enjoyed that activity.
And the reason that we recognize those attributes in them is because we have them. And we may be trying to live them or living them very actively and consciously. I'm glad that spoke well to you. I'm glad it was very helpful for you. Please.
Me the most also, because I was so concentrated, focused on getting a list of people that I admire and the qualities and attributes that I admire in them, but you turn around to say claim them. That's
right.
Something that surprised me, but that's amazing. I think you're trying to help us recognize those attributes within ourselves, and also that's the whole purpose, that we admire those people with those qualities, and also you try to bring out those qualities in us. And even I think it's just intrinsic in us, and also probably will help us even we are not living them at that moment, but that's the goal. We will try, we're motivated to claim them,
and we have them
have
so
them.
That we can live them. Upon
yeah.
demand.
Yeah, to shine, to make those qualities shine.
Thank you. That was probably one of the best summaries that anybody could have done about why we did that. I promise you there is wonderful power when you say, I am whatever the rest of the words are. There are people who sometimes tell me, Rod, you're pretty high energy. You're kind of like out there. And I say, thank you. And they may be trying to tell me to calm down a little bit because they're not comfortable with it. Interesting dilemma, isn't it? So I may modify a little bit about how I live that particular energy. And then there are times when I say, yeah, I know that I show up big. I show up big energy. I get that. And so if it's uncomfortable for somebody, I may manage how I have my experience with them. But I am a person who lives big. And when I quit worrying about that and started acknowledging it and owning it and claiming it, then I found ways to do it differently so that my being big doesn't have to be overpowering for somebody else. There is so much power in saying, I am, and giving yourself credit for an attribute. You did that when you got the job. I love people. I got this job because I was able to portray how I enjoy people in the interview. That's what I heard you saying earlier. You owned it, you claimed it, you have it. That's the power that we have. So when we're looking at how we live our lives and our motivators, our personal values, own them, identify them, clarify what they mean for you. Really know why you make the decisions that you make. And when your gut says, it's not quite right here, stop. Think about it, analyze why it's not quite right, and see what needs to either be done to make it right or walk away. Now, I love cars, and people come to me a lot of times to help them make car purchasing decisions. And so I say, okay, you want to look at this and this and this and this and this. And we have a whole list of go through. And the bottom line, don't buy something you don't like. Well, you know, no, don't buy something you don't like, because every month you will be writing a check out for that payment. And if you don't like the car, what will it feel like when you write that check out? It's not fun. So if you don't like the color, don't buy it. If you don't like the equipment, don't buy it. If you don't like X, Y, or Z, don't buy it. Because you need to be able to have the right kind of feeling about what you're doing on a constant basis. That's really what we're talking about. Whenever we're behaving or we're doing or we're implementing some kind of decision or activity, it needs to give us power, not drain power. So, why on earth did we go through all this, Rod? Because I promise you this, that when you live consistent with your personal values, using your strengths and your attributes, it brings you natural power. And when your intent guides your thoughts and feelings, which in turn guides your words and actions, you will accomplish your goals. I promise you, that's where you have your personal power. It's by being consistent with the things we've talked about today. Now, we ripped through this. I spend 4 hours with the beginning. This is the beginning foundation with every coaching client I have. And we do this in 4 hours. We have lots and lots of conversation pulling forward what I call aggregate data, those words that become a part of the definition. And we didn't have that opportunity today. But I promise you, this is the foundation for your personal power. Now, do you think I'm perfect in all this? Because I'm human. So the human experience means there will be times when we're not quite sure. And that's why I've given you the tools for assessment. You can go back, okay, what's not right here? Well, I really don't feel this happening for me, and it's tied to one of my values. Or, Rod, remember the strength of, you know, there are times when you just can keep grinding through something until it shows up. Do that. Try one more time. Try today. Only look at today, because one of the things that I have a habit of doing, don't know if it ever happens for you, is I go so far out into the future that it's huge, insurmountable. But one of the things I can do is separate today's events and pull in the livable bites. So that's a strength, an attribute that I can pull forward when I'm a little overwhelmed. Make it livable bites. So I promise you, when you look at your values, your strengths and attributes, and all of those things that you do to bring you success, when the times that you're feeling a little bit struggling, pull those forward, and then you will have the success again. Any questions or thoughts? I trust this has been beneficial for you. I've had a great time. I love doing this kind of work with people. It is my life mission. And I, you know, some people say you should be a minister. No, I just want to be a coach. I don't want to be a minister. I want to be a coach, because this is fun stuff for me. So thank you very much for having me, Dr. Luke. And we'll turn the time back over to you.
Thank you, Rod. Wow, we're missing you here at the UC. All this wonderful stuff.
Well, invite me back often.
Thank you for your presentation today. It's wonderful hearing you kind of reframe us in a way for us to talk about our resolutions and the things that we do have done in the old-fashioned way. So hopefully we'll take some of these tools and work with them. And I'd like to invite all of you to use the Faculty and Staff Assistance Program to continue this process if you'd like.
I saw her nodding several times. So apparently I said things she agreed with. So you now have a set of tools that you've started. Let them help you.
Yes.
I know the programs that they have, or at least assume they're similar across campuses.
Exactly.
And I know that they can support you in these processes.
Exactly. I'd also like to say that the program today was co-sponsored by the Staff Association. And thank you all for coming and being with us in this starting off our new year. And see you next month, same time.
All right.